Hey, Open Mic Podcast listeners. Want to share your opinions, give me feedback, or tell me what you're thinking? If you do, send me a voice message. Voice messages are an easy way for you to send me audio that might end up in future episodes of the podcast. They're the latest feature from Anchor, the platform that I use to make this show. Here are some things that I would love to hear from you. What questions do you have for me? What did you think of the episode? What did you think of the topic? Who should I interview next? Make up a theme song. I don't know. Do your best impression of me. I'll see all of your messages and I might add them into a future episode. Anchor makes that part super easy. You can send me a voice message right now from wherever you're at, wherever you're listening. Just tap the link in my show notes and I can't wait to hear from you. Again, thanks for listening to the Open Mic Podcast. Until next time, cheers and be well and enjoy today's episode.
It's time for the Open Mic Podcast with your host, Brett Allen. Broadcasting live from the Bay Area studios, here at the Open Mic, no topic is off limits. And of course, you never know who may stop by. So sit back, relax, and enjoy today's show.
Good morning, everybody. Happy Monday to you. Episode 126 of the Open Mic Podcast. Thanks for joining in and listening and being a part of the conversation. We have a very special guest today. Pradipa Narayan Swami. Pradipa is an infertility coach, and her motto is helping infertility suck less. Very cool motto. I'm excited for you to listen to this interview. It's going to be very informative. And honestly, if you are out there and you have struggled with infertility before, this conversation, I feel, is going to be very beneficial to you because what she does is very cool and very unique, helping coach couples through the struggle of infertility who are trying to get pregnant, moms, dads. It's an issue that is very prevalent. And to be honest, I wasn't super familiar with the whole topic as a whole, so to speak, because I didn't realize how big of a problem this was across the country. And some of the statistics that she shared with me pre-tape were pretty amazing, and I feel like this is going to be a magnitude of an episode because it's an important subject, and I felt like it was necessary to have her come on and talk about the struggle of infertility and how it's not just a problem here in the United States, but it's a problem worldwide, really. And we're going to cover that topic. So if you are someone who has dealt with that before or struggled with it or might even currently be struggling with infertility or trying to get pregnant, those types of things, and this episode is definitely for you. It's for everybody. And again, thanks for everyone for listening. You can always head over to theopenmicpodcast.net and find out all the latest information, all of the latest show notes, that sort of thing. However you listen to the show, you can find out about it everywhere. You can listen everywhere. That's all I really have to say. In any case, we're going to get to our interview here. Again, I hope everybody had a great weekend. I am super thankful and super blessed to be here. Pradipa, welcome to the show, the Open Mic Podcast. Thanks for joining in today.
Thank you so much, Brett. I really appreciate the opportunity today, and I'm very excited to talk to you.
Yes, I am very excited to talk to you as well. And a little background about this for our audience. We've been working on this for a little while. We actually met last year, I think, right? Through a podcasting group on Facebook.
Yes.
And recently reconnected. And Pradipa is a fertility coach. Now, if you don't know what that is, that's okay. We're going to define that. But she has a very important job and really an amazing story about how she got into this. Pradipa, welcome to the show. And why don't you share with us a little bit about what it is that you do and how you got started doing it?
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you, Brett. Yes, I am a fertility coach, and I'll share with my mission statement because that kind of resonates with a lot of people. It's just a one-liner. My mission is to help men, women, and couples' infertility journey suck less.
Very straightforward, yes.
Right? It can be a very sucky journey. I mean, I use that word because that's how I was able to resonate with when I was going through this. It truly, truly sucked. So I kind of use that as a catchphrase because people understand what I mean by it sucks. It can be a really sucky journey, and there are so many factors going into when a person or a couple going through infertility challenges. There is a lot of this financial aspect, that's a big thing, but alongside there's going to be a lot of stress with the physicality, meaning with regards to you have to take a lot of drugs and medications and tests and all those things, and that leads to also a lot of mental and emotional stress. And it kind of sometimes, if people are spiritual in nature, it challenges their spiritual beliefs as well, especially when the treatments are not going well and they're not seeing the outcomes that they are looking forward to seeing. So it affects, all in all, I want to say it affects somebody physically, mentally, emotionally, and spiritually. And it affects the overall life of the person, even though this may be one small aspect that's going on in somebody's life. It did for me. It affected my overall life as well, on how I showed up at work, how I was at home, how my relationship was with my husband, how my relationship was with my friends and family, everything. I mean, like everything sucked. That's the best way that I can that I can put it.
So you're a coach and you help people work through this. What are some of the situations that people might come to you for? I mean, having children, of course, I think is something that most people want. Mm-hmm. It's something that they desire. And I can imagine that if they're trying, I get the whole religious aspect part. That makes perfect sense. Why would God let this happen? We want to have kids, but we can't. So when couples come to you, what are some of the situations that you encounter with them, and how do you sort of work through this with them to deal with it and maybe search out different options and that sort of thing?
Yeah. So let me clarify what I do as a coach, because there is a little bit of confusion in the industry, even in general, like what does a coach do? Oftentimes people, sometimes they reach out to me, they are looking for advice, like what should I take, what treatment should I do and things like that. So just to clarify for you and for your listeners, I'm not a medical practitioner, and I generally don't, and I don't have a medical degree with regards to reproductive endocrinology. So I don't give suggestions or advice with regards to, this is the treatment that you have to do, or this is what has worked. I will never do that. Where I come in to support people is from that emotional and that mental health perspective. Mm. I'm not a therapist, and I wanted to differentiate that for your listeners as well. I'm not a therapist. I'm a coach, and there is a difference, at least in my head, and this is how I kind of explain that. As a therapist, somebody is very interested in what has happened in the past and how that is really affecting somebody's present. That's what therapy is all about, like looking sometimes into the back to really understand what's going on currently. And oftentimes, the outcome for therapy is mostly healing. That's not the only outcome, but oftentimes healing is the outcome. On the other hand, as a coach, I actually treat somebody who is coming to me as my client. I don't call them as a patient. They are my client, and I consider them as a whole person, as a resourceful person, and as a creative person. That means when I approach them, there is nothing wrong with them. It's basically their situation that has made them, or it's actually bothering them and struggling them, and I actually help them move from there to really understand where they are going and where they wanted to go, and help them with clarity, and really help them with, if they have any, I use this term called like saboteurs, things that your inner voices that really sabotages their progress and their life, really work with them to help, remove them and help them move forward. So there is a difference there. Coaching is about also moving forward and really help them going after any goals that they may have.
So yeah, it's like a coach, like a football coach or a basketball coach, in a sense. You're helping them work through the mental and internal struggles. Now, if it gets to the point where you feel like that they do need some sort of medical assistance, like whether it's medications or drugs or whatever those things might be, do you have a referral system set up for them to reach out and say, hey, I think this is kind of where this relationship needs to end. Let me refer you to these people.
Yes, absolutely. So that's something, you know, I'm certified under International Coaching Federation. And one of the important aspect of being an ICF certified coach with regards to their ethics and policies, if I even slightly get a feel that this person who I am coaching might need any kind of medical support, I immediately stop and I have to make sure that they are reaching out to an appropriate professional. So absolutely, that's 100%. And that's also, you know, when I create my agreement with my client, that's a big part of that agreement.
Wow. I find this all so fascinating. It's a completely different world. And for those of us who have children, who haven't had the struggle of trying to get pregnant, it's really almost difficult or impossible on some level to connect, because you have children, obviously, now, which is part of your story. And I have a 4-year-old son. So my question would be, how do you find yourself able to connect with these people on that personal level and say, I understand what you're going through? Obviously, you've experienced, so that makes you an expert, so to speak, on that level. But these couples that are struggling emotionally, what are some approaches that you take to connect with them in that way?
Yeah, I mean, irrespective of who comes to me, Brett, I actually always wanted to share about my story as well and my struggles as well. Mine was really a long, painful, and very really a painful, lonely experience. It's about like 12 years worth of journey for me, and that is really long for somebody, you know, like going through infertility. Just to give you some statistics, I've gone through 3 miscarriages. And then after that, we got referred to fertility specialist, you know, and then we started our fertility treatments, IUI, which is intrauterine insemination. So 3 failures with that, and then moved on to the golden standard of fertility treatment, which is IVF, in vitro fertilization, and 8 back-to-back failures. Wow. With IVF. And these treatments are not like a week long or something like that. Each IVF cycle from start to finish is sometimes it will span across like 3 to 4 months, depending upon how the cycle goes for you. So back-to-back-to-back, when you have treatments like this, it just tests you as a person. It just tests you as a patient. Like that's why I said, like, it affected my whole life, where I'm going through, I mean, like, I was very disciplined and I was very optimistic about going through these treatments. And when I was encountering like failure after failure, meaning nothing was working out, I kind of use this analogy. It was like every time when I start my treatment, I'm actually climbing the stairs of the 30th floor on a tall building, only to find out when it doesn't work, you know, I'm falling face flat from the window of the 30th floor, broken into pieces, and I have to put those pieces back up, stitch it again, and next I have to walk all over again. And that's how it felt like every time for me. And it was not easy. I mean, like, every time when you have to encounter, when you fall down, it was such a hard pain. The more as I was moving along further in my treatments, it was really hard for me to pick up those broken pieces and put it back together, because it's gotten to a point where it was shattering more and more. You know, I'm just using this analogy, but that's how I was feeling. I was feeling like I was broken into pieces, both internally and externally. And having that same optimism and the enthusiasm to pick it back up, and I have to start all over again, it was a struggle, to be honest with you.
I can't even imagine what the emotional stress must be like for you and for others, especially if a cycle lasts like 3 to 4 months. Like, so really, and we mentioned this earlier in the show that you're not a doctor, but you obviously have statistics that are available. If a cycle is 3 to 4 months from start to finish, so really a person can only go in twice in a year, essentially, right, to get artificially inseminated, I guess would be the term to use, IVF.
Right.
So what is that like when couples come to you and they've gone through their second round? Are you there with them through that process, so to speak? Obviously not with them physically, or maybe you are, I don't know. You know, they've gone in twice now, and then you sort of help them from there and go, okay, how long do they have to wait? I guess there's two questions here. I apologize. So how do you deal with couples who have been through that first part, the two-parter, they've gone twice, and then how long do they have to wait in between sessions to go through IVF again?
Yeah. So there is no direct, it completely depends upon the clients and their needs. And yes, I work with couples, but I also work with individuals as well. Like, you know,
sometimes
just the women in the partnership will come. Sometimes it's just the men. And sometimes when both of them are struggling through this and having relationship challenges, I generally recommend couples coming for couples coaching. So I do offer all sorts of different types of coaching as well. And one of my client, you know, I'll just share a little bit of her journey.
Please.
She started working with me, you know, when she lost her, you know, she got pregnant through some of the fertility treatments, and she lost the child midway through her carrying, which is extremely, extremely heartbreaking. And she started with me, and then when she was working with me, you know, really taking care of like finding clarity. Okay, I'm really confused now. I don't know where to go. And there's so much of that emotional pain of treatments not working. And there's so much of grief that she's not, you know, like really honoring because of the loss of her baby. And there is that guilt that's coming in between because, you know, like, yeah, I just lost the baby, but you're trying again for another baby through this, you know, medical procedure. There's so much things going on and things like that. And she was, while I'm working with her, she was going through some of the treatments. Needless to say, when it was, she did all the work, of course, you know, like she did really hard work. She did all the work. And when she was able to get rid of things that didn't really serve her in her life and in her mind and her spirit, actually she ended up being pregnant, and she is going at it really, really successfully now. And still she continues her coaching with me. But I'm just saying, like, it totally depends upon the clients and their wishes on what they wanted to do. You know, my client is also, you know, this, I'm just talking about this particular client. She's also interested in continuing her sessions even after the baby is born, because she feels like this has really helped her with the personal transformation, and she has benefited so much from it. And she really wants to take her life to that next level and wanting to go after some of the other goals that she had.
Wow.
Typically, when people come to me, a lot of times, especially when they're going through fertility challenges, their main focus is like, I can't get pregnant, I need to get pregnant. Right?
Sure.
That typically is their sole focus. But because, you know, like you're so wound up in that kind of cycle, like, oh my God, it's not happening, it's not happening, it's not happening. I need to have a child. I need to get pregnant, right? That's exactly, or we need to have a child, right? So that's exactly their stances. But once they start working, their view expands, you know, like having the child is not the only goal or dream. It may be their current desire, but there is more to life. And that's where it leads people into different paths. there was a couple who came to me for coaching. One of the things that they were struggling with was their relationship. You know, they already had children, but they were going for, you know, more children. And that's something that they really desire to have in their life. But you know, just their relationships, you know, their communication and how they were going at it, especially when the treatments were not working, they started blaming each other, and it kind of, you know, like really spiraled. And kind of they were having a challenging time dealing with the challenges and not able to communicate, sit and communicate, you know, with each other. And every time when they wanted to communicate, they end up fighting and don't wanted to talk to each other, not blaming each other, right? So this kind of were spiraling. So their situation was very different, because when they came to me, they wanted to really take care of their relationship more than anything. Of course, they wanted to have a baby, but all they saw was like, oh my God, with regards to infertility, this is how I am feeling. Because I can totally resonate with that, because when I was going through this, me and my husband had these similar challenges as well. The reason why I'm doing coaching is since I have walked the walk with my fertility struggles for 12 years, and I have seen in my personal life, and I have experienced in my personal life, all sorts of challenges that you know, one can imagine. Of course, not every scenario, but I can completely resonate. I can completely understand. So going back to your original question, when somebody comes to me, I listen to them really intently. And when I hear things from them, I kind of resonate from that perspective of, thank you for sharing your story, but this is what I have also gone through in my life, you know, connecting with them from that level. And that actually really, really helps people, because so many of my clients and my potential clients, Pradeepa, thank you for sharing your story, because my story is not all, you know, like, what do you call, roses and rainbows and unicorns. Sure. It's not. It had so many challenges. It had so many dark times. And I made so many bad choices and things that I'm not proud of. But that's my life. And when I'm sharing that with them, it kind of puts people on the other end like, oh, okay, my coach understands that. Like, oh, she understands that because she has gone through something similar to that. It may not be exactly the same, but she has gone through something similar to that. And everybody that I talk to, I almost always make it a point to share my story, because I want people to know that I'm not just talking the talk. I'm not just here, you know, like coaching you just because I wanted to. I have truly, truly experienced this pain, and I know how much it sucked for me. And my intention to becoming a fertility coach is to really help you so that it doesn't have to suck for you so much.
Wow, what an incredible story. I can imagine that people that come in, there's a lot of misconceptions about infertility, and you actually wrote a blog article about that, which I found so interesting, because some of those things I didn't even know. So when somebody comes in, what are just some examples offhand that you can think of that are misconceptions when they go, oh, we can't get pregnant, you know, it's my husband or it's my wife, he's too old, or I don't know. I can't imagine there's so many things out there. What are some of those?
Yeah, again, you know, like I share statistical data. These are statistics that are, that are recorded by American Society of Reproductive Medicine and some other, forums in the world. I talk to them about statistics, because oftentimes women, okay, let me share you the statistics. In 2020, fertility industry is going to be upwards of $20 billion. Wow. Billion dollars, which is a lot of money. And these, when I say fertility industry, this includes, okay, of course, the treatments and the clinics, the regular medical treatments, but alongside, there are these supplementary practices like acupuncture, yoga, fertility massages, fertility supplements, fertility herbs, fertility tea, like anything you can think of. Just you can add a name, fertility, to that, and it's made available for people. The reason I know all about this stuff, Brett, is when I was going through this for, again, long 12 years, I used to be sitting in front of Google every day, desperately searching for that one magic thing that I can take or do so that it cures me and helps me get pregnant. I used to be so desperate all the time. Boy, how much time I wasted on the internet, God only knows, seriously. So much of that. But there's so much of that that's available today. And majority of these things are targeted towards women. So oftentimes there is this misconception that it's a women's problem. And a lot of people talk from that perspective. But American Society of Reproductive Medicine, their statistics says only 33% of the causes with infertility is due to women's. 33% is due to men. And the remaining 33% is due to the combination factor, both the couples, or it's unexplained. It's again, both the couples, but we don't know where the problem is, or there may be problem in either one, but we cannot really pinpoint. So it's not just a women's problem. It's a men's problem too. And it's a couple's problem as well.
Wow. Who knew that information even existed? That it's mind boggling, really, on so many different levels. Now, I imagine there's a huge financial undertaking too, to get these treatments.
Yeah.
Typically, off the top of your head, if you can, what is the typical session cost to go in and meet with an actual fertility doctor and get the IVF done and that sort of thing?
So IVF is extremely expensive. There are, like, when we were going through this, at least the state that we were living in, the insurance doesn't really cover these treatments. So if people don't, especially if they're living in the States and if they don't have, if the insurance is not covering, a typical treatment can cost from like $12,000 to $15,000. It is a lot of money, exactly, just one cycle. Not to mention, you have to buy the drugs that's associated with that. Typically, it costs around like $3,000 to $4,000. It's very expensive, but nowadays some states are requiring the insurance to cover these, so that's good. And there are some companies, Starbucks is a very popular example.
Oh, really?
Yes, a lot of people, especially who have financial constraints, they work at Starbucks because Starbucks gives fertility insurance coverage for fertility treatments. So I know of people who do part-time work in Starbucks so that they can get that coverage going. Like I said, I mean, like, it is really, really expensive. And I know, like, there are a lot of forums where people are trying to find, like, can I go outside the country to do this? Can I, you know, like, go to Europe or, you know, like, Mexico or South America or Asia? It doesn't matter, but it is an expensive treatment. But it puts a lot of burden and financial burden on people, especially on couples. And like I said, that's also a big, challenge for couples, especially if you're not wealthy and if you're not able to spend this kind of money. Some people have to work really hard to save this money. And they just don't have money like this at their disposal. And that can create challenges by itself. One of the potential client was talking to me about their treatment was sponsored by their close family member, not the close family member. And they were having a pressure now, like, oh my God, this person is sponsoring me. What can I do, Pradeepa, to make this successful? I have to have this successful because I don't think they will. I mean, like, we don't have any other choice. They are sponsoring it, which is extremely generous. And I don't know. I have to have this happen, right? But you can't, like, really, you cannot change the outcome. Unfortunately, you can't. I mean, you can try different combinations, right? You can pinpoint different combinations, but there is no guarantee that this is the outcome that's going to have. And that's why, you know, when people come to me, that's the first thing that I will clarify with them.
Okay.
Like, I will not promise you, when you work with me, I can never promise you that you are going to have a child or you are going to get pregnant. Because, like I said, I'm not a medical doctor. I wish I have like a magic wand or a, you know, pixie dust that I can throw at you. I sincerely wish because I used to desperately look for that. Seriously, can somebody touch me or can somebody, you know, like, throw something at me where it'll help me you know, get pregnant, right? And not lose the baby. I wish that, but I am not, because I am going to help you find clarity, and I'm going to help you, you know, like, how can you still live a life that suck less irrespective of your fertility challenges right now? Because if you don't have control and ownership of your life, especially when you're going through some hardship like this, whatever decisions you are going to make, it's pretty clouded, right? Your relationships are going to be challenging, because if you don't know how to handle emotions, I'll throw a couple of emotions that came so much for me. Shame, right? There is so much shame because, you know, reproduction is something that's supposed to happen naturally for people, right? I mean, when you are growing up, you will never think that, like, okay, you get married, you have, you know, sex, and then you get pregnant, and then you're going to have a child, right? That's how I've seen happening. I mean, you know, like, from the people I was growing up with. But when it doesn't happen, you never think that, like, oh my God, I am going to have challenges with conceiving and having a baby, right? And when that hits you, it hit me really, really hard. And it was such a shameful thing. I'm actually originally from India, and the cultural aspect too, the cultural barrier.
Oh,
we don't talk about these things. We don't talk about these things.
I wouldn't imagine you would.
Yeah. And when it hit me, and when it hit me personally, I was like shell shocked, like, oh my God, people can have problems here, right? That's how naive I was, to be honest with you. That's how naive I was. And that actually, you know, like, when your body is naturally, it's supposed to do something, when it's not doing, especially with regards to something as sensitive as reproduction, it actually creates a lot of shame. And that shame makes you, you know, go on a shell. Like, you don't know how to deal with that, right? Oh my God, I can't, right? I don't want to tell. I used to be a very closed book when I was going through this. Nobody knew about this, that I was going through this, except my parents and my husband's mom. And that's pretty much it. It was a pretty hush hush. I never wanted to tell anybody because I was not comfortable sharing that. And another thing, right? This is something that people oftentimes don't talk about, and jealousy, right? When I was going through this, there were other people, my family and friends, they were getting pregnant, and, you know, they're getting married after me, and they're getting pregnant and celebrating baby showers, birthday parties, and things like that. Here you are, you know, like, trying and trying and trying and getting up the stairs and falling down, getting up the stairs and falling down. And it just tests you as a person. Like, the jealousy, it's unintended jealousy. It's not a mean kind, but, like, why not me, right? What did I do wrong, right? That's where the spirituality comes into big question. If people are spiritual in nature, there's this big question mark that sits on your head, like, why me? Why did you choose me to be this way? Why not me, right? What did I do, right? You tend to seek those kind of answers. And I see that a lot. I used to be that way, and I see that a lot in my clients, especially when they start their coaching with me. Right? And that's where we work together, because when you have these questions and these doubts and these emotions where you are, you know, you are not healthy, you are not expressing them in a healthy way, right? There is a healthy way and there is an unhealthy way. I was doing everything when I was going through this in an unhealthy way. I did not know anything else. I did not know what else to do. But now, because of my experience, when I'm hearing somebody saying, like, Pradeepa, I'm so jealous of this person, I don't judge them. Mm-hmm. I empathize with them. I never judge my clients. I empathize with them because I used to be that person before.
Wow.
And I tell them it's okay to be jealous. It's okay to be shameful. It's okay to be sad. It's okay to be angry. Because oftentimes we box certain emotions as good and bad. Emotions are emotions. That's it. That's why, I mean, I'll repeat this again. I never consider my clients as broken, because they are complete, they're resourceful, they're whole, and they're creative. You know, they may have these situational challenges that's you know, putting a dent on their life right now, but they're not broken. They don't need to be fixed. And wow. That's the stance that I take. It's okay to be it's okay to be emotional. It's okay to be angry. It's okay to be rage. Right? And I help them express that in a healthy way. I offer them that safe space so that they don't have to feel bad about like, oh my God, Pradeepa, I have to just shout. The other day, one of my clients, she said like, what are you feeling right now? And she said like, angry. Like, how do you want to express it? And I said like, I want to shout, but I said, okay, go ahead and shout right now. No, Pradeepa, I can never do that. I will not. And I was just giving her that space. Try it. Even if it's a little, try it. And you know what? Then she ended up shouting for like 5 minutes and she started banging stuff. And that's how she was able to, you know, release her anger. And that's healthy. And that was so healthy. And I was so proud of her for doing so. So that's where coaching matters here, right? I help them. I meet them where they are. Truly take them deep down what they are feeling. Because you cannot move forward until you go deeper in yourself. So coaching is all about going deeper to move forward. The more deeper that you're willing to go, the more forward you will be able to go in your life.
Wow, it sounds amazing. I'm encouraged. And I think that's fantastic. One last question as we wrap up here and possibly follow up. Do you ever have couples that come to you, they've gotten pregnant, and I think you touched on this earlier, and then they come to you and they go, okay, now what? You know, they've gone through this emotional struggle for months, maybe. They've had several sessions with you. They've gotten pregnant, maybe even had a baby. And then they come back and then they just, you know, almost like a PTSD to a degree.
Yeah.
Do you help them kind of talk through that as well? Or is that maybe where, you know, a doctor comes in or a psychologist or something to kind of deal with all the emotional things that have been attached to what you've been helping them with through the last several months or years, maybe?
Yeah. Coaching is always like, you know, so this is where a lot of people get confused. Like, should I go to therapy or should I go to coaching?
Okay.
People can go to both. There's nothing wrong with that. These are complementary to each other and they work really well together, in my opinion. And like I said, like if I feel like somebody needs a therapist, I would happily recommend them to a therapist. And same with like, that's my responsibility. And like you asked, coaching stops when somebody feels like they are at a good place. Okay. And they can move forward by themselves. And it's totally up to them, right? I never push for more coaching. I suggest that, like, hey, at least when they come to me initially, I look for or I will ask for at least a 6-month commitment. And after that, majority of my clients, Brett, they don't stop at 6 months. A lot of them go on because once they have taken care of one thing, they are very intrigued to take care of the other thing. And they wanted to move and they wanted to move and they wanted to move. So until they think that like, oh, okay, this is how much I wanted to go. And, you know, that's when we kind of end our relationship. But the question that you asked, it doesn't matter whether, you know, like whether the couples have a child or not. This is an analogy, again, I use. If you are not taking care of the relationship problems, right, when it's occurring, it's basically like sweeping the dirt under the rug. The more you sweep under the rug, you know, it may outside may look pretty, right? You may have a child at home, but the dirt is still under there. And when you open it, it's going to be a stink bomb, right? And eventually that's going to be a stink bomb. So that's why I always recommend, you know, honor those, right? Don't sweep it under the rug. Whatever shows up. Let's deal with that right now, right? If you sweep it under the rug, it's just not healthy for anybody, even for the individuals and for the relationship as well. So I've been doing offhand research, talking to people going through infertility on what are some of the relationship challenges, and what's the connection between infertility and divorce or separation. And to the group of people that I've talked to, unfortunately, there were a lot of people who are actually going through separation or separated or ending up in divorce.
Not I can because, imagine, yeah.
Yeah, not because, Brett, not because of their inability to have a child. It's because of their inability to take care of the relationship challenges. So this is what I would suggest to couples. If you feel like this is testing your relationship and it's not going anywhere, and by yourself as a couple, if you're not able to take care of it, make sure that you work with somebody, a professional like me, so that I can help your relationship to strengthen, to rejuvenate, to refresh, so that infertility shouldn't be the cause for a marriage or a relationship to end. Should never be the cause for a marriage and relationship
to end. No, I don't think so either.
Yeah, but there are things that are happening like that in this world, and that's why I take it upon myself. That's why I talk about coaching couples a lot, because it is really important. Your life road doesn't end with infertility. There is more to your life, right, together as a couple. So it should be, this probably is a small hump in the road. But if you don't take care of that, unfortunately, it may end here. And that's where I wanted to really help couples, so that to really help them understand, okay, why did you say I do in the first place, right? Where are you going as a couple? How do you want it to, how did you want it, this relationship to be?
Mm-hmm.
Right? So it's really, really important for couples to come together. Like I said, infertility is not just a women's problem. Sometimes men, especially in that relationship, think that, like, oh, it's my wife or my partner is just emotional and I don't know how to deal with that. I'm just going to leave her alone, right? I have seen that so many times with my clients or my potential clients. But like I said, it's a men's problem too. More importantly, it's a couple's problem. Whether they are married or not doesn't matter. It's a couple's problem. If they are in a relationship. So taking care of the relationship is going to be key, irrespective of what the outcome is going to be. If the relationship is strong, no matter what's going to happen, they are going to be happily facing this, or they will have the strength and courage to face this together.
Wow. Wonderful. That I think what you do is so interesting, and I love it. Like, you really are helping people out on more than just a surface level, so to speak, of coaching them through infertility, but just life in general.
Yeah.
And I think we need more people in the world like you to help, because I wouldn't call it a niche, but I do think that, you know, what you do is very specific and helpful to people, because I think with counseling and therapy, it's great, but with you, I think they maybe get more of an emotional connection, especially women, but probably men too, maybe, who have all kinds of other issues going on in their life, you know, psychologically, well, not psychologically, but just, you know, parental issues, mom, you know, dad, but you can kind of come in and address all those things and help people work through this and make infertility suck less, which I love that. And when I release this episode next week, I think that's the perfect descriptor for the podcast. It's just, you make it suck less. It gets your attention, because I was like, wow, that's pretty bold, but it's true, because it sucks. You know,
yeah.
I can imagine it does. And, you know, not being able to have children can just be, there's just a whole nother world to it.
Yeah.
So if people want to find out more about you and learn more about you, how can they connect with you if they want to, Pradeepa?
Absolutely. Everything is in my website. It's www.pradeepafertilitycoach.com. It's P-R-A-D-E-E-P-A, fertilitycoach.com, all one word. All my contact information is in there. You know, people can use the contact form to send me a message. And it doesn't matter. I'm always looking to talk to people. For some people, just one conversation with me is all it takes for them just to move on in their life. And, you know, I'm not looking at everybody that's coming and talking to me as my client. I'm more than happy to talk to anybody, because to me, what I'm doing comes from my heart. So to me, I wanted to serve people as much as possible across the world. So even having that one conversation, if that's going to really help them move forward in their life, I would be honored to do that.
Absolutely.
So just reach out to me because I had been there, and I had been there for 12 years, and it was I walked the walk. It was not easy. It was horrible. It was dark. It was painful for me, but I made it through. So my silver lining to this, my story, my fertility journey, is we adopted our son from India. So that's the route that we took after my 8th IVF failure. I'm so blessed to have him, Karthik, in my life, in our lives. But that's why, you know, like, I'm really passionate about helping other people, other people's infertility journey suck less.
Yes. Thank you so much, Pradeepa. And all of her information will be available in our show notes as well. Thank you so much for being on my show today and sharing your story. It's beautiful, and I appreciate it. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Brett.
Thanks again, everybody, for listening in and being a part of such an important episode today on the subject of infertility. All of Pradeepa's information will be available in our show notes. Please, please reach out to her and let her know what you thought of the episode. And if you have any questions, please email us at openmicguests@gmail.com. Until next time, have a wonderful day and be blessed.
That brings today's episode to a close. Thanks for listening in. If you enjoyed today's episode, head over to Apple Podcasts and leave us a kind rating and review. It really does help. Until next time, cheers and be well.